Sundays with Jennifer Fleming.
Look, most of us wouldn't think twice about having a blood transfusion or receiving someone else's kidney or heart. But what about a transplant of feces? Look, sorry if you're just sitting down to dinner. We are going to talk about poo. This process is now being used when somebody's gut flora is unhealthy and when antibiotics no longer work. So healthy poo is transplanted to somebody with unhealthy poo. Professor Thomas Barodi is a gastroenterologist at the Centre for Digestive Diseases, who is a leader in faecal transplants. Professor Barodi, thanks for your time this evening.
Thank you.
Look, we hear a lot these days about microbes and their effect on our health. How many people are suffering problems related to this?
It's hard to put a number on that in such a broad number, but probably at least 30% of the population is a wild guess.
Well, it's significant, isn't it? So a third of the population. And what would it include? Things like irritable bowel or what kind of...
Yes, irritable bowel is general and mild, so you can see around 15 to 20%, depends which country. But there's a number of other conditions which are starting to fall in under the category of microbe-associated. And if you take in metabolic syndrome, obesity, arthritis, immune disorders, but particularly the epidemic that is sweeping America with Clostridium difficile infection, then it gets closer to 30%, we think.
Mm. So where did the idea come from to use healthy poo instead of, you know, in unhealthy people?
Well, in the Western world, the first publication was 1958 in patients who had been treated with antibiotics. And then they developed a terrible diarrheal condition, which at that time there was no bacterium to pin on this condition. But someone thought of it and published it in 1958 in four cases, where at the time the death rate was about 75% from this pseudomembranous colitis. And they used staff, we feel, at that hospital, and four out of four went home. Within 10 days, they were well. That was the first report. Although when you look back on Chinese literature, the 4th century already, they were using this form of treatment for what it sounds like to be infection of the gut flora, irritable bowel syndrome, and severe diarrhea.
Mm-hmm. So how does it actually work?
Well, the person who has had their bowel flora damaged by antibiotics, and that is probably the majority of us who have ever had an antibiotic, but when it's severe enough to allow the implantation of a competitor, which is pathogenic, that means it causes disease, the incoming bacteria are capable not only of killing and removing that competitor, the pathogen, but also replacing the missing components, and we become well.
Mm-hmm. But where do you get the healthy poo from?
Well,
people donate
Yeah, people donate. I mean, they get interviewed that they don't have symptoms, then we test the blood, test the stool, and we have a track record with a number of what we call super donors who have cured many patients.
Mm. So how many people are being treated in this way?
Well, in Australia, probably the largest number in the world. We've done about 2,500 here. But in the US, due to the epidemic, which has, by one measure, killed over 100,000 per year, we now feel that there are more than 300 centres where physicians have done from between 1 and 90 such FMTs, faecal microbiota transplantations, a new terminology.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned earlier about people with metabolic syndrome. There was a Dutch study that showed positive results for this. First of all, just explain what metabolic syndrome is and how this this process has helped them.
Well, it's a condition that's becoming more and more common in our population, where you have associated obesity with insulin insensitivity, hypertension, sometimes increase in heart disease, stroke, and a lot of downstream complications. But obesity and diabetes are the major factors here. And they did a single infusion study and showed, even after a single implantation, that there is a permanent or long-term, at least, reduction in insulin insensitivity, so that patients are type 2 diabetic. So if we now are able to not just do a single infusion, but probably achieve implantation, which may require more aggressive treatment, we may find that one of the major factors of metabolic syndrome, obesity, diabetes type 2, may be uncovered.
I'm speaking with Professor Thomas Barodi. He's a gastroenterologist at the Centre for Digestive Diseases, who is a leader in this new treatment, fecal transplants, or FMT, I think you were saying, Professor.
That's
correct. So these microbes that seem to be far more important than we ever suspected, can you get them, you know, should you take this procedure if you are a healthy person? Do they have benefits, you know, for regular people?
No, I mean, if you're healthy, you're well, you don't need to treat something that isn't broken, if it isn't sick. But we currently treat mostly patients who have Clostridium difficile infection, but the research that we are undertaking are in the other exciting areas, such as ulcerative colitis, where we can get reversal, and in some percent of patients we can actually get a cure. And so that's for research. But the CDI, ulcerative difficile infection, we feel that that is the main aim of the treatment, is the FMT therapy.
And now Dr. Karl Krusnolitsky, who I'm speaking with later, he wants to know, does it work with inflammatory bowel disease?
Well, yes, that's ulcerative colitis, Crohn's, but we're currently working more with ulcerative colitis. And yes, there are some problems currently in getting the sort of result of near 100% cure that we are getting with C. difficile infection. And we're asking ourselves the questions of why is inflammatory bowel disease different to inflammatory bowel disease caused by C. difficile? And I mean, one of the answers might be that there is a series or number of different bacteria, and some are more difficult to kill than others. So there's a lot of answers to be sought.
What about just using probiotics? I know there are a lot of people who say, and I've bought the little packets myself, of you know, having these probiotics in your food to encourage good gut flora. Do you recommend that?
Well, probiotics are usually made up of a small number of bugs that have been cultured over and over. We call it passaging. And they do not implant. That's point number one. And number two, normal flora contains more than 3.3 million different genetic strains, and the stuff we buy in the shop contains less than 10 and doesn't implant. And
so not worth it? You wouldn't bother?
They don't work.
Oh, okay. Well, that's going to save me some money, not having to buy some probiotics. Dr. Barodi, you worked with the Nobel winners Barry Marshall and Robin Warren, who found that ulcers weren't caused by stress, as everyone thought, but actually by bacteria. Has their work influenced treatment of gastrointestinal problems?
Well, in a way, because Barry Marshall and Robin Warren demonstrated that the bacterium does cause inflammation of the stomach, it is a little bit like causing a bug causing inflammation of the colon. So instead of having a gastritis, we're dealing with a colitis. And it has turned our heads into looking for infections in places where previously unknown cause inflammation was the only thing we saw. And yes, in a way, it has opened the door to a different paradigm, different thinking.
So if you want to get good microbes, good gut flora, what do you suggest?
I suggest you wait at this time, because we don't have any in a format which is readily available to the public. We do treat C. difficile infection with a couple of implantations, but the time is coming when an extracted format, which we now have achieved, which is FDA approved in its first stage of approval, which is called an IND, will be a frozen product at minus 80 degrees, 35 cc's of it, and it works as well as just a crude filtered human flora. And ultimately we'll have this in a freeze-dried capsule. We've achieved that already in our group in the US. And I think in the future the probiotics that we are currently buying, which are half a dozen and don't work, will be the entire human complement of the flora, which should be used in many other indications, including if you have an antibiotic course, you'll finish off with 5 or 6 capsules of the entire flora to replace.
So how long before that will hit the shelves?
Shelves, I would say at least a couple to 3 years, because it's a natural product, so it may not have to go through the rigour of the current drugs that are taken through FDAs and TGAs. But that's all to be shown, because we haven't yet done enough studies to show that it reverses IBD, IBS, inflammatory bowel disease, and we're at an early stage of the crude material being used, but that is exciting in itself, because we're seeing cures where previously all patients with ulcerative colitis, or virtually all, would go through life with this disease on various immunosuppressants.
So 30% of the population will be looking forward to this. It's really interesting work. Thank you so much for your time this evening.
Thank you.
That's Professor Thomas Barodi. He is a gastroenterologist at the Centre for Digestive Diseases, talking about that quite interesting research of fecal transplants.